took me a long time that this week to film that while I was painting. And just kidding, that wasn't me. I can't do that. I love that song, that video. It's so cool. I love how it captures that expecting of Jesus, long-awaiting expecting of Jesus. That song, you guys recognize it? Come, thou long-expected Jesus. I want to just read the lyrics of that song to you again and just think about them, listen to them a little bit here this morning. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. That's a great song. I love how that captures that, expecting Jesus to come. And it's perfect because today we're kicking off a new series, the 3-week long here about the Advent season. It's called Night Divine. And the word Advent, it means coming. So Advent is a time of expectant waiting and preparation for Jesus coming to earth. And the Bible actually teaches about two Advents of Jesus. The first, at Jesus' birth, we celebrate at Christmas. And then the second one, still yet to come. The second coming of Jesus, when he'll return to be with us and to rule on earth. So Advent is a time for Christians to celebrate from those two perspectives. It's a time for us to engage with that Israelite longing for the coming of the Messiah, the longing for them to see their deliverance. And it's an opportunity for us to be alert and to long for Jesus' second coming. So this next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about that a little bit. And today, we're starting to celebrate this Advent together. And we're going to focus on the longing, the ancient longing for justice and for forgiveness. But in order to do that, we got to take a step back. We're going to go way back to the beginning. And some of you are saying, we just did that, right, in this sermon series. We just finished up looking at Adam and Eve. We're going to do it one more time. Probably we'll continue to do it in the future too. But so in the beginning, right, we see that God creates the world with the pinnacle of his creation being people, created in his image. And everything we see God create is good. His design is beautiful. The world is perfect. And God had an intimate, personal relationship with Adam and Eve. He talked with them, walked with them in the garden. He was with them, and he loved them. But he gave them this one rule, right? Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they did eat from it. They disobeyed God. And sin entered the world. And the result of that sin was rebellion and fear and hiding. God's perfect world was broken. And from that time on, sin and the results of sin have filled every bit of this world. And people have been committing wrong against God and against each other ever since. Isn't that right? You guys experienced that a little bit in your own lives, probably. And we see that when we read Genesis, right? We turn the page and we read about Cain and Abel, and Cain kills his brother Abel. Talk about going downhill fast, right? Perfect, blissful garden to murder, all right, in one page. Pretty quick. And I think it's interesting for us to go back and look at how God responded to that sin. So we're going to take a look at that first before we jump into the rest. This is Genesis 4, verse 9. It says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. When we read that story, we can see a couple things stand out to us about God. And I want us to put ourselves in the shoes of the first people a little bit, right? This had never happened before. This is a new thing. They're wondering, how's God going to respond to this? One of the first things we see is that God longs for justice. You get a glimpse of that in what God says to Cain. He says, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. There was a wrong done. The Lord knew, and he knew that it was wrong. And yet in the midst of that, we see God offer grace. Well, how do we see grace in that? Well, if God longs for justice, we would expect for him to execute that justice right away. The wages of sin is death, an eye for an eye. Cain killed Abel. Now Cain deserved to die, but that's not what happened, at least not immediately. We see there's a consequence to his sin, but it's not what we would expect. God allows Cain to go on living. And in fact, he goes one step beyond that, right? He actually provides him protection and says, nobody else is going to retaliate against you. I want us to just think about that for a minute. God longs for justice, but he also offers grace. There's some tension in that, right? On one hand, God's a God of justice. He's righteous. He rewards all good, punishes all evil. And on the other hand, he's a God of grace and forgiveness. How can that be, right? How can those two be true? Isn't it hard to grasp that sometimes? And then if we put ourselves in the shoes of these first people, think about it. If you're Adam or you're Eve, you have two sons that you love dearly, and one of them kills the other one. Probably part of you longs for a little bit of justice, right? Your son has been wronged, really wronged. But you love your son Cain, and you want forgiveness for him. You don't want him to be destroyed as well. And on top of that, it's never happened before, so you have no idea how God's going to respond, right? You're like, let's see how this goes. They were probably a little worried. Do you feel that tension in that story? Have you heard that story before? The tension, justice and grace or forgiveness. Well, that's just one example, one of the first examples. But it's a theme that we see repeat itself throughout the Bible, over and over and over, since sin entered the world. There's a longing for justice, and yet there's a longing for forgiveness at the same time. And if we keep reading in Genesis, we pretty quickly get a glimpse at the history of God interacting with people. And you see him promise to bring justice and forgiveness, to bring redemption, to make things right time and time again. And as time goes on, God's plan becomes more and more clear how he's going to do that. First, he just promises to bless the whole world through Abraham and his descendants, and then Jacob's, and then Isaac's. And then we see God's promise come through all of Israel, the nation of Israel. And then we see it come through the leaders of Israel, and then the kings, and then the prophets. And as time goes on, we get a clearer and clearer glimpse. There's a longing and a waiting for this promised Savior to come. The Messiah, the one who's going to bring justice and forgiveness. And as we trace this promise, we see year after year after year where God's people are waiting and longing to see that happen. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today and next week, this longing for God to fulfill that promise, for God to bring justice, and for God to bring forgiveness. But this week, we're just going to camp out in the longing for justice category. Before we jump in, let's pray. God, thanks for this morning. Thanks for this opportunity to just engage with our longing for justice. Thank you for this season of Advent where we wait expectantly for your deliverance, for justice, and for forgiveness. And we thank you that you've provided that to us in Jesus. We pray for this morning that you would speak to us, that you would show each one of us how we can engage a little bit more in that longing for justice and expecting your provision for it, God. We give this morning to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, this morning we're going to look at a Psalm of David. We could have picked any number of a lot of passages that talk about our longing for justice in the Old Testament, but this is a good one. For one, it's a Song of David. He wrote it to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjamite. Not exactly sure what happened in that situation, but it's a beautiful psalm where we see him cry out to the Lord, express his desire for justice. It's in the midst of this injustice. So I'm going to read it. I want you guys just to listen to his words and his emotion that he's sharing, and we're going to take a few things from it. He says, O Lord my God, in you do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me, lest like a lion they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there's any wrong in my hands, if I have repaid my friend with evil or plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. Let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me. You have appointed a judgment. Let the assembly of the peoples be gathered about you. Over it, return on high. The Lord judges the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity that's in me. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end. And may you establish the righteous, you who test the minds and hearts, O righteous God. My shield is with God who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, a God who feels indignation every day. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull his violence descends. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. I love that expressing of emotion in the midst of this wrong, this injustice that he's living through. So there's a few things I think are great for us to take a note of what David's doing here. And the first is that he embraced sin as sin. Well, what do I mean by that? Sin is a serious thing. And we live in a broken and sinful world. And even in our best, most loving relationships, we experience hurt and pain because of sin, don't we? It's affected every part of our lives, and sin has real consequences. And when other people sin against us, it hurts, right? There's something in us that longs for justice. I wonder if you're in tune with that in your life this morning. Some of you are like, yeah, of course, people wrong me, I'm in tune with that, right? But think about it a little bit. I think sometimes it's easy for us to ignore sin or to make light of it. even when it's other people's sin against us. Our culture tells us to weigh the weight of sin based on comparing it to the other people's sin around us. Well, yeah, at least it wasn't that bad as that guy. When we compare, we make light of sin. We feel a little bit better about sin. The truth is, it's a wrong. I think we also get a little confused by what it means to forgive, right? We know Jesus has called us to forgive others. But forgiveness is not ignoring sin or making light of it. It's releasing someone from paying the penalty of that sin. Think about this for a second. Think about the last time somebody apologized to you for something. Has anybody ever responded to that by saying, "It's okay, that's all right"? I respond that way almost every time somebody apologizes to me. But that's actually incorrect, right? It's not okay. That's why they're apologizing to begin with. It's a wrong. It'd be better to say, "I forgive you," or "I release you from that wrong." When you think about your life, would you say that you're embracing sin? You feel the weight of it. Your own sin, sure. Today we're focusing even more on the sin that people commit against us. David embraced sin as sin. We also see that David longed for justice. You see that throughout the whole song. He's saying, if I'm guilty or wrong, then let me pay the penalty, but I'm not. And I want justice here. This is wrong. And his longing for justice and righteousness is good. That's not a bad thing. We all have a longing for justice. I think it's a part of what it means to be created in God's image. God is righteous and just, and he's made us to long for the same thing. And with sin and injustice happening all around us and in the world and in our lives, we have an inherent longing for justice, especially when we're wronged, right? Or when somebody that we know, that we love, has been wronged. I wonder what in your life elicits that response, stirs up a longing for justice. What in the world stirs up a longing for justice within you? Are you in tune with that? I think it's easy to lose hope in the midst of injustice, and we see it continue, and we sort of stop hoping for justice in that. David saw sin as sin. He had an intense longing for justice, and then we see his response. In the midst of that, he appealed to the Lord in faith. He turned to God. We see this over and over in the song. O Lord, my God, in you do I take refuge. Save me from my pursuers and deliver me. He's looking to the Lord for help. He's not looking anywhere else. He's not giving up hope for justice. He's turning to the Lord. I think it's interesting to see why David does that. He expresses that in the song. He remembered and trusted in God's character. God is a passionate, righteous judge. And David knew that, and he's remembering this. And in fact, he's asking the Lord to act out of that. God is righteous. David clings to that. He knows that God sees the sin, and he knows the weight of the sin. And he sees that it's wrong. He's righteous. And God's the judge. David is appealing to God and no one else. And he remembers that God has the power to judge, the position to judge. So David is turning to him. And he's remembering that God is passionately angry towards sin. Did you catch that in there? Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Sin makes God angry. The sin that's committed against you makes God angry. God is a passionate, righteous judge. And we see that David believed that because he turns to the Lord. And he trusts the Lord. You catch the very end? I love how he finishes the song. The very end. In faith, he thanked the Lord for his righteousness and justice. I will give to the Lord the thanks due his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. David's saying that in the midst of the injustice. That's different, right, than seeing deliverance and then saying, okay, yep, you proved yourself. He trusted the Lord before he saw this justice. Okay, so what does this have to do with us, and what does this have to do with Advent, celebrating Jesus coming? Well, in this world, we'll have troubles. There are wrongs being done to us and people that we love all the time. And the question for us is, how are we going to respond to that? We respond in the same way that David did, embracing sin as sin, longing for justice. I wonder if we're allowing ourselves to long for justice in our lives. Have you grown numb to sin? Or does it still bother you? And maybe lost hope in a certain area? Will you allow yourself to long for justice? And then maybe the most important thing in this is, how do we respond in the midst of those injustices in our life? Do we appeal to the Lord? Are we turning to him? I think when those things come up, we have a choice. We either turn to the Lord or we turn on him. You ever seen that happen? Something injustice happening in somebody's life? And they say, okay, God's supposed to be all powerful and good and loving, but there's this injustice going on. How can that be? And it's easy to start thinking, well, maybe I can't. Maybe God's not good. Or maybe he's just not all-powerful or just. Maybe I can't trust him. And all those sort of thoughts come up. The other option, though, is to turn to the Lord, to remember who he is, to trust who he is, and cry out to him in the midst of it. So the question for us is, will we allow that injustice that we sense, that we feel, to push us to the Lord, to depend on him? This morning, as we celebrate Advent, I think it's good for us to put ourselves in the shoes of the Israelites a little bit, in that longing for the arrival of the Messiah, for hope, for justice, hope for forgiveness. There's a prophecy from Isaiah that I think is really encouraging to hear about the coming Messiah. I just want to read it. Just listen to the hope that's expressed in this. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. What a promise of hope, deliverance, justice. At Jesus' first advent, he came to save us from the penalty of our sin. On the cross, he died for our sins. And in him, God's justice and forgiveness come together so that we can be forgiven and that God's justice is satisfied when we trust in Jesus. We may have heard that, and that's definitely encouraging, life-changing. But we look around us and we see brokenness in the world. And we experience injustice and we still long for justice, right? We long for God to put an end to the wrong. Well, the Bible teaches us about Jesus' second advent, a time still to come, when Jesus will come back, and this time to save us from the very presence of sin. In his justice, he will put an end to all sin once and for all. I don't know about you, but that brings me a little bit of comfort. Those times when I feel like, I don't know, how can this be the case? God's supposed to be all-powerful. He's supposed to be loving and just. Well, that promise helps me with that, right? He's not going to let it go on forever. He will come back and put an end to that sin. This morning, we're just beginning to celebrate Advent, and we want to dive into that longing for justice and longing for forgiveness. I want to encourage you to engage with that a little bit. Think about that in your own life. How does that come up? How's that coming up now? Embracing sin as sin and allowing yourself to long for justice, and then putting your hope in Jesus, turning to him, who's a passionate, righteous judge and one who has promised to return even soon and bring justice for everyone. Will you engage with that this morning, this week? Let's pray. God, thanks for this morning and for this opportunity for us to be together and just talk a little bit about our longing for justice. And I thank you that in you, our hope is not disappointed, that you bring justice. God, and I thank you that you have put that longing for justice in us. And I pray we wouldn't make light of sin or ignore it or lose hope, but that we'd see the injustice and that would push us to you and depending on you. We thank you for your deliverance in Jesus. We pray that we would really celebrate that this Advent season and Christmas as it comes, God. We pray this in your name. Amen.